All right, folks, welcome back to the Pause, Roy, and Play podcast. We are here just enjoying life, and we're going to talk a fun animated film today. But we have a special guest. We got the regular cast, Vince and Josh. And Josh, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, who we've already had on before, but we have you back again.
Definitely. This week we've got Cade. Cade, what's up, man?
Hello, long-time listener, second-time recorder here.
Just the classic podcast stuff.
Exactly, yeah, dude.
Yeah, Cade was on, if you guys remember or listened to our episode on Joker, back when that came out. Cade was, he came on the podcast and talked with us about Joker, and it's been a while, because that came out, what, last December? So it's been like 10 months or something, but we're glad to have Cade back on the podcast. And this was actually a recommendation of Cade. So just remember, if you ever have a recommendation of a movie you think you should watch, just let us know, and then you'll end up in the hot seat like Cade here doing the podcast. So
well, Cade, we're most definitely glad to have you back. I didn't realize it was that long ago we had you on the podcast, but this year has also felt 40 years long. So literally it's kind of crazy. But let's kind of do our weekly recap of movies that we've been watching. Josh, do you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely started school this week, so I haven't really been watching too much stuff, but I have been making my way through Gravity Falls with my wife. And let me say, I already thought the show was pretty good and pretty funny and stuff, but now I'm getting to like the mid, like not the end, but like sort of like the mid part of season two, and it's freaking ramping up, and I'm really understanding why everyone likes this show so much, because I definitely thought it was a really funny like show and stuff like that, but it's getting intense. Like, there are some episodes where I'll just like look at my wife, I'm like, holy cow, like, is this happening in this like animated freaking TV show? Like, it's crazy. So yeah, Gravity Falls,
you're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole,
dude. It's all freaking crazy, dude. Uncovering all the freaking the secrets of Gravity Falls as we go. So it's
what is the name of the shack that they live in?
The Mystery Shack.
Is that what it is? The Mystery Shack? Oh, I thought it was something different than that. Like the grandpa's name or something. What's the grandpa's name? Something's goofy.
Stan.
Yeah. The Grunkle. That's what it is. Grunkle Stan. That's what I'm thinking
Grunkle
of.
Grunkle Stan.
It's been a while. I'm sorry.
It's something weird. Stan.
It's something weird. It's Stan.
It's Stan.
I'm not going to lie. I think that's it for me, though, this week. I've probably watched something else, but I forgot it just among all the homework and stuff I've been doing, you know, standard. Yeah.
What about you, Cade? What have you been watching?
I was talking about it with Vince a little bit ago, but I've been getting...
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I've been getting back into Cobra Kai.
Wait. Cobra Kai, Cobra Kai, Cobra Kai, Cobra Kai.
The second season is very like 80s, like soap, like what is it, soap opera type
opera,
of thing.
Yeah.
But it's still good, and I think like the part of me as a kid that loved Karate Kid and wanted to like take karate lessons is like secretly enjoying it so much. Yeah,
I was the exact same way, Cade. When I watched it, asked these guys, I was like talking about joining a karate gym. I was thinking about changing my name to Johnny. I was like right there, ready to just like lean into this whole 90s karate thing. And I guarantee I'll be right back there again when season three comes out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm ready to get a tattoo of a cobra like right on my bicep.
Or a giant hawk across your back.
Oh yeah, get the mohawk going for sure.
Oh man. I freaking loved that show. I'm glad someone else is watching it, because I talked that up to these two like crazy. And I don't think they even bothered, did they?
Hey, it wasn't on Netflix when it up to us, okay? I'm going to check it out now that it's actually accessible and not on YouTube TV.
Yeah.
That's true. I had to really sell out to watch it.
Oh,
YouTube TV for Vince. And I have no excuse as to why yet I have not watched Cobra Kai, because it's the number one thing that's advertised to me, and I've watched like the little preview on YouTube, on Netflix, like 7 times now, like the whole entire preview. And I'm like, that could be good to watch. Then I start watching The Legend of Korra.
There are worse things.
No, I watched all of Avatar the past 3 weeks, and now I'm like halfway through The Legend of Korra as well, so I'm on a roll.
Is that what you've been watching, Case?
Yeah, Legend of Korra. I watched another series of Bald and Bankrupt. I'm rewatching what I've already watched. Thank you, Bald and Bankrupt, on YouTube. And then we watched Les Mis last night, the one on Netflix, I think it's on. And I really only half paid attention to the film itself because I was just listening to my wife sing. She has a fantastic voice. And so I just mostly worked on making a hot dog pie and getting everything ready for my YouTube video on hot dogs. And yeah, cold hot dog pie is exactly what it sounds like. Gross.
Elaborate.
On what? Like a cold hot dog pie? Do you want to know what goes into it?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the recipe for cold hot dog pie for all you cold hot dog pie dreamers out there. First, you take and you dry out the bread, like the
I'm
bun
already
crumbs.
Grossed out.
No, hold on. just hold on.
You take and you dry it out.
Yeah, so you like make croutons, right? You kind of make it and then you mash it down and you make a shell and you put butter over it and you just make it so it's like a pie shell. Then you take 12 to 15 hot dogs and you throw them in the blender with hot dog water. And on top of that, hot dog water is exactly what it sounds like. The remnant water in the hot dog bag. I don't know how to say that. And then you take 2 gelatin sheets and you put them in to like make it like pie-ish, and then you put it in the fridge for 2 hours. Then you pull it out and you make almost like a lattice on the top of it, like little design on the top of it with ketchup and mustard, and then in the middle you just put a dollop of relish.
So I would, if you're still here, I would like to thank you for being one of the best listeners we've ever had. and if you're not still here, I'm sorry, please come back.
Yeah, I can cut that out, but like the reality of it is like
in there. It's staying in there.
I figured I might leave it, to be honest with you. It's a good story, but like don't try it at home. Like this is probably a food no one should eat. I just love hot dogs, and I'll say that till my dying breath, but the consistency of this pie was terrible.
I love hot dogs too, man, but nothing sounds worse than a cold hot dog. And then you throw it into a, like, and then pie it? Like, that just sounds terrible.
I don't know if a warm hot dog pie would be good either, though. Oh.
No, you're 100% right.
Could you imagine getting, like a torch and browning the top of it? Like,
creme brulee-ing like, it up. Right. Yeah, exactly. It could be bad. It could be bad. It could be good. I don't know, but yeah. Also, this week, I did watch one other thing to surprise everyone. I watched Midsommar again.
That's such a surprise, Casey. How many times have you seen it?
I've probably watched that movie like 9 times since it came out.
That is a lot.
Did you get anything new out of it the ninth time through?
No, but the temple is like really weirded me out still. Like there has to be more meaning in it. And so I have like 9 tabs pulled up on a browser that I've minimized. That's all about the symbolism of the temple in Midsommar. Like people have put a lot of research into this. So that's kind of cool. Good for you people. But I think I'm overreacting a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, that's about it. That's been my week in watching. Vince, what have you been watching?
I have been just binging the crap out of The Umbrella Academy. Season 2 came out a little while back. And so I decided I'm going to watch all season 1 again because I didn't really remember what happened. And I am halfway through season 2 now in a week. Isn't that when we talked about it? I think we talked about it last week. So I got 5 episodes left. Season 1, again, kind of with Cobra Kai, I think season 1 is still like, I prefer it so far, but I'm only halfway through season 2. So we'll see how this kind of wraps up. It's just a really fun show, really interesting characters, just very focused on their relationship, kind of a family drama, you know? Do either of you guys watch it?
I saw the first season and I liked it a lot. I just haven't gotten to the second one.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the special effects are like really good, like for Netflix, like surprisingly good. They've got a monkey in there in both seasons. And like, I don't know, it looks surprising. Like it's not like Game of Thrones, you know, end of the season quality, but it's just they put a lot of love and care into it. And it was adapted by the king of the emo kids. It was written by the king of the emo kids, Gerard Way, and adapted for TV. And I think I'm going to buy the comics after I finish the series just to check out, you know, how similar it is to it. Because it's a lot of fun, and I kind of owe it to the king of the Black Parade. What's he call himself?
I don't know, man.
Like, are you guys too young for My Chemical Romance?
No, I definitely know My Chemical Romance. Are you
You're talking, no, so like, I definitely know. I'm too young to like be like, I know all the members of My Chemical Romance and here's their gotcha. Names and stuff. Like, I've definitely, you know, I think I still even have a couple of songs like in my saved songs on Spotify, but like nothing crazy.
Gotcha. Well, they're great. Gerard Way was the singer, songwriter, kind of one of those heroes of the early 2000s, you know, if you're in that kind of music, he was kind of your idol.
Vince wearing his beanie cap over here, just praising the Lord of the emo kids.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right. Should we get into the movie then? The movie that we're here to talk about this week?
Let's do it.
Let's get it on.
I got some movie info here. The Iron Giant, directed by Brad Bird. It was written by him and Tim McCanleys. It was based on a book called The Iron Man by Dead Hughes. The movie was changed from The Iron Man to The Iron Giant, so it wouldn't be confused with the comic book character. So that's
wait, did you say Dead Hughes or Ted Hughes?
I said Dead, D-E-D Hughes, and I may have misspelled that. You want to double check me on that while I look through this?
Yeah, I was like, Dead Hughes. I was
Dead
like,
Ugh. Hughes. That's a great yeah. name if it's his name.
Dead Hughes, comic book writer. It is Ted, T-E-D.
Ted. Okay, misspelled.
We can stick with that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm going to be calling that from now on. Movie was released August 9th, 1999. It had a budget of $70 million and only grossed $23 million. Rotten Tomatoes, critics give it 96%, audience give it 90%, and IMDb gave it an 8.0. Now, this is where it gets surprising to me. This freaking cast, I had no idea. This is like a 90s, late 1990s, early 2000s, like, home run. We've got... first off, this guy I don't really know, but Eli Marienthal as Hogarth Hughes. Of course, the legendary Vin Diesel as the Iron Giant. Jennifer Aniston as Annie Hughes. Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin himself, as Kent Mansley. And Harry Connick Jr. as Dean McCoppin.
Dude,
I had no idea. I didn't recognize a single one of their voices, except for I knew Vin Diesel was the Iron Giant. So I looked this up and was just like, wait, what? Wait, what? Like, with each character, I was like, that was him? That was her? Wait, you know, just surprised
you
me.
We're 100% right. When you said this is like a 90s dream, I don't know how it was possible that this movie, you said it was what, like 23 million that it grossed? Mm-hmm. With those like ratings through the roof and this freaking, like you said, 90s bomb cast, you probably could have made a movie that was like garbage with this cast and probably made like $100 million from what it sounds like. Like, how could you? That's insane.
From what I understand, like, it premiered the same weekend as Bad Boys. And so like, that's like what a lot of people like throw the reasoning to. But I'm like, I feel like the people that are going to see Bad Boys in a theater are not the same people that are going to see an yeah. animated kids movie.
I mean, let's look back in time. It's August 1999. Everyone's worried about Y2K, and there's this movie about this giant robot. I mean, people are like, if you go see this movie, you're gonna die.
Well, and that's what surprised me when I like looked into this. It was like, sure, it came out at a weird time, but this isn't a bad movie. It's not my favorite movie in the world, but it's not a bad movie. And I think it has a good story in it, and it's fun, and it's not your typical animated Disney garbage. I don't know. I wish the robot would have been more of a Soviet thing, like the CCP all the way, guys. But like it really has to come from freaking space. Yeah, it's a Gopnik, man. That's what it could be. I don't know. I just wanted more Soviet in this. Like, we wanted to go on a Soviet adventure, and I didn't get it.
I did. I think that's what I loved the most about the movie is I love these time period, like these time period piece movies. Is that what they're called?
Period piece.
I talked about watching American Graffiti a little while back, which takes place like, what was it, the 60s? Like the mid 60s or something like that, or early 70s. I can't remember. But it's just kind of like in times like this, like in 2020, when everything just seems to be falling apart, it's nice to look back and see the simplicity of humanity 50 years ago, you know? And that's how this was. It's this kid living in this small town, watching bad horror movies, eating too many Twinkies, just living the dream and hanging out with his giant iron robot. Like, sure, they had their problems. They're in the schools, they were watching videos about getting bombed and, like, you know, hiding underneath their desks. But just like a time before the internet, before all this crazy stuff was going on, and you could just, you know, kids could be kids and enjoy themselves and run around and have pet squirrels. And I don't know, it's just it's just fun to look back at these old times and look at how just, like, I don't know. I know it's not simple back then, but it just seems simpler back then.
That bomb video made me laugh probably more than it should have, dude. Like, kid hiding under his desk and like everything's decimated but him, and he's like, yeah.
The funniest thing is, like, that was obviously like a parody, but from what I understand, they act like during the Cold War time, they showed things that were very similar.
I believe it. That's crazy.
If you guys want to see some great propaganda, just go search Cold War US propaganda. And it is fantastic. The training videos, all of this, like, it's a real adventure. Like, time was different. And actually, the elementary school I went to had a bomb shelter in the basement. Like, there was no, I think, Vince, like, your elementary school may have been built a little bit differently than mine, because I think they were built in two different times. But the one I went to straight up had this staircase that was like 35 feet below the building and into a concrete bunker. There are no windows, nothing.
Yeah, I remember, like, my parents talk about that. I remember talking to my dad and him being kind of like, you know, that was a thing we had to worry about, was getting bombed. And that's like a terrifying thought, you know? And it's like, I mean, what did we trained for earthquakes in school when we were kids and, you know, stuff like that. And it's just like, it for them, it was just day to day. For Hogarth, is that his name?
Yeah.
For Hogarth, it was just normal. Like, oh yeah, we're going to do the bomb training. And then we're going to go out and I'm going to get beat up by the bullies, you know? Like, it's just normal day at school. Who cares?
Okay, but for real though, like, if you name your kid Hogarth, they're going to get beat up. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not encouraging bullying. I'm not encouraging bullying or anything like that. But Hogarth, like, come on.
Now, dude, when the guy was like, Hobart, I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
Before we move on, I have a couple of casting considerations I got to shout out. They had some people that they were considering for the giant: Peter Cullen, Sean Connery, Frank Welker, and James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones? Dang. That would have been another 90s dream.
So I think a lot of it, like, when Vin Diesel wasn't, like, moonlighting as a drag racer in his, like, free time, I think that Brad Bird, like, saw him in some other movie, and because he was looking for, like, that powerful, like, voice, but also one that could be, like, kind and sensitive. I don't know. I don't really feel, like, comforted when I listen to Vin Diesel's voice, but Brad Bird did, I guess.
I mean, he does great. And
I fall asleep to that stuff.
Falling asleep to the purr of Vin Diesel's voice in your ear.
Yeah.
I mean, he does great. He did great as a Groot. He does have that really good voice. It's just really surprising that they went, you know, they had Sean Connery, James Earl Jones, and then just threw this curveball and went with Vin Diesel. So anyway, Cade, you recommended the movie to us. Tell me your experience with the movie and why you wanted to talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up with this movie, so it definitely hits me a little bit more in the nostalgia when I watch it. And so, I love it a lot. I think during this time in, you know, in the world when this came out, if you think about it, it was in the 1990s when Disney was coming out with Aladdin and The Lion King and all of those other like classic Disney movies. This is like an animated movie, obviously, but it's nothing like that at all. Like, it tells a full story with no like sing, like it's not a musical in that sense, but at the same time, like, it's appropriate for kids, but it's still a good message like for adults. And I was thinking about like not only how much I enjoy the movie, but how I feel like it's still like a prevalent topic that can be applied today with all the craziness going on in the world. So yeah, we played it for my daughter last week and I was like, this is such a good movie. I forgot about it. Did you guys see this before recently, like when you were kids, or is this something you guys just saw now?
I saw it now.
Wait, this was your first time, Josh?
I know, right? Freaking, I'm an awful person, but yes, this is my first time seeing The Iron Giant.
Wow. I remember when it came out. My parents bought it on VHS for me, and I sat down in front of the big giant box TV in my basement on the floor and watched it, and I loved it. It's funny that we talk about dystopian worlds, right, in the way that we do, because we live in such a weird world itself. And like we're talking about, like, the Red Scare was a big thing, and like the nuclear fallout and all of this, and like you see that in the characters in this. There is paranoia, there is fear, and it's not out of place though in this time period. And I remember just being obsessed with this movie. I think I watched it like 9 or 10 times probably the first year I had it. And I remember it was one my dad sat down and watched and enjoyed with me. And he watched very few animated films with me. I mostly watched Westerns with him, and I love Westerns. But on the other side of it, like, good animated films are enjoyable for people of all ages. And even as an adult, I enjoyed it. So it was good. And like, I could see why my dad enjoyed it as an adult at that time, because even now I have a hard time watching kids' movies, but it was good enough. I could rewatch it and I wasn't bored.
I must have seen it when I was a kid younger, because there were lines in the movie that I recognized, but it's a cult classic. Iron Giant, right? So everyone knows what it is, whether you've seen it or not. Everybody recognizes the giant. He's such an icon at this point. You know, people have tattoos of him. You can buy toys of him. He's just everywhere. So he's kind of in the zeitgeist or whatever you call it. But I didn't really have any memories of actually sitting down and watching it until last night. But there were lines like that I remember quoting over the years, like when the giant falls off the cliff with the kid in his hand and the kid's like, "You can fly, you can fly," you know? And I was just like, "Oh, that's where that came from." You know, I don't know how many times over my life I've said that.
I was like, "No, Vince, that's from Peter Pan."
Oh, is it? Maybe that's where I got it from.
There is a similar line, which is what I thought of, and I hadn't, you know, seen this. When I heard that line, I was like, "Peter Pan, is that you?"
"I am Superman." Sorry, I can't quite make that voice.
And it also might have been that I just saw the trailer for it and I never actually saw the movie until now. Who knows? But this pretty much was my first time, because I really didn't have many memories of it up until, you know, while I was watching it, up until those small moments where I was like, "Oh, I recognize that. Oh, I recognize this."
Well, it showed up in Ready Player One. That's pretty dope, right? I don't know if like you guys remember that, but the Iron Giant was in. They had like it in there, and I thought that was just so rad. So.
I freaked out.
That's what I'm saying. That giant is such an icon at this point. Like, and I think the reason behind it is the imagery is so cool. Like the animation and the imagery that they do with the giant himself is, I think, the best part of the movie. Like when you first get introduced to him and he's like standing in the water and just looks down, and you just see a silhouette. It's basically every time you just see a silhouette of him with his giant eyes standing over the forest or something is just like iconic every time. It just looks great every time. But I didn't really like the movie, guys.
Really? Wait, spending this entire time talking about how like iconic it is. Why didn't you like it?
The bombshell.
No, and that's what it comes down to, is I don't know what it was missing for me. Like I pressed play on the movie just expecting to love it like everybody does. I sat down and I got a little bored, and the next thing I knew I was playing with my laser pointer, you know, with my cat trying to like distract. I was like, "No, put the laser pointer down. We're watching this movie," you know? But there was like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the message and the animation looked good. I don't know. It just wasn't landing for me or moving. And maybe it's a pacing thing. Maybe it's just, it's a 1990s movie and we make movies differently now. And I was in that mindset over let's watch this old movie that I haven't ever seen before. Like if I watch the Aladdin movies, I've seen Aladdin a million times. I know every beat of that movie and I can enjoy that movie. But I don't know. This one just, something wasn't working for me through the whole thing. I definitely didn't hate the movie. I'm not going to be a part of the cult that loves it like I am a part of the Dark Crystal cult.
This is almost like has that biotech, like, it's a real, like, I guess going back, it has a Soviet feel to it, right? Like, and like the machinery, like the giant itself, the way it was built, although it feels out of this world, it also feels relevant for the time era of what they imagined the future was like, or beings from outer space were like, right? And you're right, the pacing in this film is way different. It's, I don't know, I was thinking about that when I did like that big movie blitz that I did. Like I tried to watch a couple of older films and straight up fell asleep in a couple of them, where I was like, hey, like this is a classic that I need to see. And it was differently paced, like the way they told stories, like the music was different, and like that could be all a part of it. But I can see where you're coming from, but my nostalgia still like holds it up for me in a way that like it's a prosthesis. So even as an adult, I probably won't think it's a bad movie,
which it's not. I mean, look at all the reviews. Like it's a great movie. Everybody says so.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so surprised too, that I wasn't like as into it as I expected to be. Like I can't say enough good things about the giant himself. Vin Diesel, like I said, does a great job voicing him. He doesn't talk too much, but he talks enough that you understand that he, you know, has a mind, has a soul, you know, as they talk about, and you really care about him by the end of the movie, and you really fear for the Iron Giant when the government's attacking, and you really just like want him to get away and you want the best for him.
I guess I want to bring something up, and when these guys get there, just so you guys know, Josh and Kate are having a couple of headphone issues, so Vince and I are going to have a conversation and keep the podcast going. But you know how like you read that quote essentially about what if a gun didn't want to be a gun, right?
Yeah.
I really thought about that in this film, because right, his eyes, they change colors. They go from like being like your nice flashlight yellow to being like red, ready to kill. And like he has so much tech going on that we don't really quite understand. But what was cool about it is it's just enough tech to provide you with the fear factor that is this machine could take over the world, right? And he has weapons built in and all of this. And I didn't watch the version you watched, and so I don't know anything else besides I just remember these scenes where he shows up and his eyes go red, the weaponry comes out, his like goes all over. But like, how would you pose that? Because right, I don't like robots as it is, and here's this robot with a soul. Like, how does that work? Like, do you have a thought on this? Like, what is that?
Well, I would love to get more into the giant's actual backstory. I mean, like, we know that he was designed as a killing machine and sent to Earth, but like really we don't get more of a glimpse of it than what you had. You get a little bit more of a backstory through his dream or whatever, but you really don't know who built him, if he is a actual species or if he is just tech from another planet. There's not a lot of information there, so I don't really know what this giant is. You know, he's some kind of alien monster, like robot monster. He needs to eat. Like what is he?
Sorry, Gabe, go.
No, sorry. We just got the headphone working in, so I wanted to break up just the double conversation. I think that's part of it, though, is like with a lot of things, like even if you think about like Pulp Fiction, you know, you never really find out what's in the box. Like they do it on purpose so that kind of like it is up to your imagination. And like, I agree, like he's kind of like a hodgepodge of like several different things. Like he's a robot, but he eats, and he like also has emotions and like almost that kind of thing. So it's just kind of like, I think up to the viewer to watch it. And I think that's why like this scene where you see all of the other like robots and what the actual purpose was, I think that's why it was removed in the theatrical version, is because they wanted even more for it to rely on the audience's like perception.
I don't know, Kate, do you have a favorite scene from this film?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me is I think that my favorite scene is like a lot of the stuff where the giant is kind of learning and seeing stuff in his human form. Like, for instance, you know, when he sees the deer die, and like you can see that he's forming that emotion, and he has like, while he is this big, like huge, like destructive machine, he also is learning the same way as a child does, in the sense where he can make an enough of an informed decision to like sacrifice himself at the end. And I think like that's one of the coolest things is like, for me, somebody who did grow up with this, and you guys were kind of talking about it before, like how nostalgia can kind of blind you. Like I watched Sharkboy and Lava Girl like 2 weeks ago, cause I was like, I remember loving this as a kid, and that movie blows now. But yeah, this is one of those movies where it's not like horrible to watch as an adult. But yeah, overall, I think just the essence of seeing something that is actually made for destruction, deciding to change and realizing that he can do a lot of good. And so I like a lot of the scenes where he learns, but one of my favorite things about this movie is Kent Mansley, the government agent.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Voiced by Shooter McGavin again. He by far for me was my favorite part because of the way that he voice acted in this. Like when he gets back into his car and the bite is taken out of the car and he gets out, he's like, oh my God, like that got me every time.
Dude. That was good.
Yeah.
I say the humor didn't work for me, but that one, that got me really good.
Yeah.
I have to definitely say that even so, you have to give it up for the voice acting. A lot of times, like the people that you hate most in like shows and movies and stuff are some of the best actors because they get them to hate you. But like, I was talking to Kate about this before, and like props to the guy for his performance. Like the guy, what's his name who played
Christopher McDonald?
Right. No, the character's name. Sorry.
Kent Mansley.
Dude, Mansley, I hated that man possibly more than I hated any single person in like the history of cinema. And that could definitely be false. But like watching this movie every single time that man said or did something, I was like, you are the worst person that has ever been alive ever. Like, watching him, so obviously like the big one is like when he steals the thing and he's like, launch the missile now, and you're like, you dumbass, like what are you doing? But then also like he's so creepy too, like when he's just sitting there watching the kids sleep in his room directly across the hall, I'm like, you're lucky that this boy's mom is not here. Could you imagine what you would think? You walk up and the freaking door to your kid's room is open right across the hall. This old man, not old, but like this grown up man is open and he's just watching your child directly with a ton of eye contact. This guy was the worst person ever. So props to the guy for making us hate him. And oh, I thought that somehow he was going to get blown up by the missile, but sadly not. Maybe that was too vengeful on my part. Maybe I hated him too much, but that was my thoughts.
So how did you guys feel about the ending of the movie? Robot gets blown up. Yeah. And we can move around if you guys want to talk about anything else. But the little cliffhanger scene where he's out in Iceland hanging out, still alive.
That's my biggest nitpick of the movie. The thing that I definitely hated most. And my wife is over here mouthing at me, it's for children. I would want a movie to end for our child. But the thing is, like, I saw that and I was literally like, boo. Like, it goes into the whole thing that I've talked about before. I know that our friends over at Rogo Tours have talked about before. It's like, there's no stakes ever. Like, you know, the whole reason that a lot of people watch this and get emotional and cry is because he did this thing. He made this sacrifice and really changed who he was. But then it's like, just kidding. Remember, he can repair himself. He's not dead. This nuke, nothing to the Iron Giant. So I was like, boo, this blows.
It kind of surprised me that they did that too. Like, I know it's a kid's movie. Jaleesa's right. 100% right. They have to make a happy ending. But like, they spent a good portion of the movie, a little scene of the movie, just talking about, you know, death and, you know, how death isn't a bad thing. It's inevitable for all of us. And if this robot has a soul or whatever, then he's probably going to die eventually too. And then he gets blown up into outer space. And it's like, oh, you know, messages that this gun that didn't want to be a gun, sacrificed himself, saved all these people. And, you know, his death means something, and he's more, it's more than this. And then all of a sudden he's still alive and this death doesn't mean anything. I don't know. It just kind of seemed like that whole scene of the movie building up that moment just was kind of wasted with this little happy ending cliffhanger scene.
I agree with that. Like, I get that. And from what I understand, actually, it was a studio decision just because they ended it like shortly after his sacrifice. And Warner Brothers were like, dude. movie. And so, like, I'm pretty sure that they added that later, because again, they foreshadowed it with the death and with all of that. But so in all fairness, I don't think that was Brad Bird's vision, but gotcha. Yeah, I get what you're saying for sure.
I think you guys are really on the right vein here with it could have ended, but they had to make it child friendly, because not very many films, their children films, end on a sour note or a sad note like that, really bring us back to thinking of such nostalgia, I don't think. Because even though Black Cauldron, as dark as that movie is, still has a warm and fuzzy ending-ish.
You guys were talking about the nostalgia thing a little bit earlier. I don't know if you can like paste this in somewhere, but like, I totally get the idea that nostalgia can like blind you. Because honestly, like with me, it's probably because like I saw this as a kid, but I was like, I always get so attached to it that I'm not like a big crier in movies. Like, I'm not afraid to. It just doesn't happen very frequently.
Not like me, guys.
Yeah. But at the end of this movie, like almost every time, like I'll get a couple of tears. And so, yeah, I think that's what it is, because I've tried watching The Dark Crystal on Vince's recommendation, and his nostalgia is blinding him on that one too. So
I warned you. I warned everyone. I warned everyone about that. I 100% admit to that one. My nostalgia has heavy blinders, and I am in with that cult.
I was still surprised, though, if you haven't checked out the Dark Crystal episode, with how much we actually, Casey and I actually did end up liking the movie. Like, obviously it wasn't the best movie ever, but I was like, why is this movie even good? I wanted to hate it and roast Vince's ass.
I would have taken it. I would have no defense.
Yeah, the literally the last thing that I had that I wanted to mention, and I just think it's to like something to think about, is the soundtrack on this movie. Like, it's all like original music, and I think that it really helps tell the story. Like, even in the opening sequence, like in the water, like when he's going around, like you start to kind of get a little sense of wonder with it. And then the Iron Giant like has his own theme song as like the background theme song, right? Like as it plays. And I just think that it helps like tell the story. And then at the end, like when it's building to him like sacrificing himself, like I think that is probably what helps like push me to tears like at the end, just because the music really matches the movie and is powerful.
Yeah, it actually won what's called an Annie Award for music for an animated feature. So it's good music, good score all around. That's pretty cool. I would have to pay attention. See, what's really interesting is sometimes I can come into these and say, oh, I heard the music and I recognized it. But I think I got lost as I was watching this in being a kid again, in the adventure of being a kid. Kind of like Vince talked about earlier, like was simpler back then. You know, like my mind took me back to being in front of the big box TV in a way, and like wanting those adventures, wanting to tape, you know, a flashlight to my gun, my BB gun, and go out on an adventure in the fields by my house and like do stuff like that, right? And for those of us with nostalgia, whether it's The Dark Crystal or, you know, it's
hey, say that better. Whether it's The Dark Crystal.
Whether it's The Dark Crystal or whether it's, you know, The Iron Giant. It's interesting how a movie can play on that remembering the time period that you first watch it or the warmest memories you have about it. And I think soundtracks do the same thing. If I paid attention to the soundtrack in this movie, I wonder what it would take me to, because I was just like thinking about being a little kid again. Like, really, that was what this film made me think. I think I've said it before, because there are movies that I watched when I was a little kid that were like based around the 80s, the 70s and stuff. And I felt like I was supposed to be in that era of time, because I grew up in a community that's usually about 5 to 10 years behind the trends of everything else. And it was normal and I loved it. And that's something that I think is beautiful, was time felt like it moved slower back then, but it probably moved just as fast as it does today. So yeah, I don't know. Anything else? Any last thoughts from anyone else before I ramble on about being a nostalgic for being a child again?
I just would say that I definitely liked it. While I have my own vision of what the ending should really look like with the destruction of the earth, it was a really good movie, and I would recommend it to anyone like me who for some reason still hasn't seen The Iron Giant.
You know what The Iron Giant reminds me of, and maybe the reason I like The Iron Giant so much? There's an album by Silverstein.
Oh,
where,
yeah,
the robot is standing there with his heart in his hand. It looks a lot like The Iron Giant.
And I'm pretty sure it is The Iron Giant.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is. It's different, but it's pretty much the same thing.
It's pretty much an homage to it.
Yeah. Actually, I was listening to the album the other day just for pure reference. If anyone wants to know, I still listen to Silverstein. I still bring up that album. But we're getting sidetracked now, guys. This podcast has been all over the place. We've had technical difficulties. We've just done a lot of stuff. But I think a lot of good things have been shared here. It was a good time talking to this, Kate. Thank you for the recommendation. It was a good opportunity to look back at a film, like I said, that I remember. And it was fun. So thank you, Kate. Like, thanks for bringing it up. Sorry you had technical difficulties.
Kate, did you have any last words you wanted to say about it? Sorry, no. We kind of cut you out there.
No. It's all good. I appreciate you guys having me on, and it was good. I think that's probably just the biggest reason why I recommended it, is just because, like, I think I'm the only one here who has like a kid, and my daughter is a little over one. And so just thinking about, like, you know, what movies from my youth that I want to show her and stuff like that, I'm seeing like, wow, that movie sucks that I loved, or like these movies, you know, are better. And so I think that's kind of what reminded me. But yeah, I appreciate you guys watching it and having me on.
We're never watching Shark Boy and Lava Girl again.
Wait, did you guys watch it together?
No, like, Cade had watched it with his... Did you watch it with your daughter?
Yeah, we watched it like last weekend.
But they
I'd heard him say it earlier, but I was hoping, Josh, that you'd been over there watching it with him. Like, you've been like kind of like, dude, I remember this show. It was great.
Yeah, that's how like Josh and I spend most of our weekends, is we like Spy Kids, Shark Boy and Lava Girl, like all of those like kids movies.
Hanging out with Agent Cody Banks.
Oh gosh.
No, that's a different movie. That's not Spy Kids.
No, sorry.
Let's wrap this up, shall we?
Let's wrap this up. Guys, thanks for joining another episode of the Pause Rewind Play podcast. Cade, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We had fun. Sorry about the technical difficulties you guys kind of had going through this. And folks, thank you for enduring this movie, listening to me talk about Hot Dog Pie and beyond. And we appreciate you. If you haven't watched Iron Giant, you can check it out. It is not streaming anywhere for free, but you can go ahead and rent it or buy it. I believe it's on Amazon for a fairly inexpensive price. But yeah, it's glorious. And if you want to go ahead and give us a follow at Pause Rewind Play Podcast on Instagram, Pause Rewind Pla on Twitter, and you can check out the PRPpodcast.com for any enjoyable content there that we might put out. And once again, guys, thanks for tuning into the Pause Rewind Play Podcast.